Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, this is Cindy Meyer. Good evening, this is Cindy Meyer, the host of the Spirit Seeker Show on Blog Talk Radio. It is my pleasure to be here this evening with Alan Cohen. Alan, are you here yet? I guess not yet. Okay, so I will keep talking until he arrives. The Spirit Seeker magazine is up and ready for our readers at www.spiritseeker.com. We've been publishing it in the St. Louis metropolitan area for 14 years, and in 2008 we expanded, actually 2009, I apologize, we expanded into Kansas City, and we are now in almost all of Missouri in the major metropolitan areas and into Illinois. And so we will be in Chicago at the Celebrate Your Life conference in June, and we're just really excited that Spirit Seeker is really hitting its stride. So www.spiritseeker.com. And Nate, is my guest here yet?
I do have a caller on the line, but they're not talking to me for some reason.
Okay. Alan, if you are here, just say something to Nate. Okay, he'll be here shortly. I know he's confirmed. So let me just tell you just a little bit about Cindy Meyer and Spirit Seeker. I have a background in holistic health and healing. Started off as a nurse many, many, many years ago and transitioned into holistic health and wellness in the early 80s. However, even in the 70s, I was studying as much as I could, that off the beaten path, reading all the books, and worked at a bookstore, and I got to see, you know, psycho-cybernetics, and, you know, some of you listeners that are younger may not recognize some of these books, but Maxwell Maltz, who was really one of the front runners, and I was always drawn to, like, Hermann Hesse books, Siddhartha, and just really kind of, looking at the deeper meaning of life. And as time went by, I just became more and more trained in holistic health and wellness. So, gosh, Nate, I don't know what to do. I've never had any. I know he's coming. Alan, when you jump on, just say hello. Very interesting. I'll check emails. But let me tell you a little more about Spirit Seeker before our guest joins us. Spirit Seeker started off as a newsletter 14 years ago and was a quarterly newsletter. And I was in Sedona in 1997, and I was meditating and very pregnant at the time, and I heard, start the magazine and have it in place before the child is born. And I'm like, what the heck does that mean? So I said, more information, please. That's kind of how I talk to Spirit. And the next thing I know, I just heard, you know how to do this. You've been working with publications. It will be easy, la, la, la. And so I shared this vision with a friend, and they're like, but where are you going to get the articles, and where are you going to know where to, you know, get the advertisers and all that? And I said, I think that's the least of my problems. I said, I really think it's really more of finding the people who need to find this information. And that's really how it evolved. And even before I started the magazine in 1996, I had this vision to do a holistic expo. And you're going to, like, laugh at this, but in 1996, I did my first expo, and we are doing the 25th expo on July 11th in St. Louis. So can you imagine, 25 since 1996? Quite an undertaking, and each one has a whole theme of its own, and this is just really, like, you know, we're just celebrating. It's the 25th one. All right, so tonight, the way the evening will look is once our guest joins us, we will be talking about his visit to St. Louis. And, you know, Alan Cohen is an amazing person. The first book I read of his was The Dragon Doesn't Live Here Anymore. And it was really a turning point for me in many ways with looking at life in such a different way and not being afraid and just being more confident and just really going more for what I wanted. And he's a pioneer in this, and then he's had over 21 other books, and he's coming to St. Louis. He's been a monthly writer in Spirit Seeker magazine for at least 10 years, and so the readers of Spirit Seeker magazine are blessed with getting the opportunity to read his wonderful inspirational articles every single month. And then he also has daily sayings you can sign up for. And Alan, are you here by chance?
No, he's not here yet.
I wonder if he's, you know what, I'm going to put you on hold for one moment. I'll be right back.
Play some music. Now, back to Spirit Seeker with Cindy Meyer.
Hello, this is Cindy Meyer with the Spirit Seeker Show, and it is my pleasure tonight to have Alan Cohen as my guest. And Alan, are you there?
Hello, I am here.
Aloha.
Aloha to you. Thanks for having me on, Cindy.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I was sharing with the listeners before you joined us that you've been a writer for Spirit Seeker magazine for at least 10 years. And, you know, I love your daily inspirations, and you've changed the whole format of your daily inspirations. I'm like, whoa, look at this. So just very grateful that you're here tonight.
Thank you.
So, yeah. And, you know, and I also was in your presence last year at the Celebrate Your Life conference in Chicago. Was that not wonderful?
It was a great event.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, Liz Dawn just got married.
Right. We all know about that.
I know. It's
a big deal on the planet.
I know. It's so sweet that she shared it and, you know, let us in on her blog. And then now she's sharing, you know, how she accomplished it. And, you know, I think, you know, Ariel Ford helped her quite a bit, you know, and it's just a family affair. But I know that you do a lot with relationships. And, you know, tonight we can go a lot of different directions. But just so I can let the listeners know just a little bit about you. Alan Cohen is the author of 22 popular inspirational books. Some of them are the Dragon Doesn't Live Here Anymore, which was your first major, you know, success, where I think everybody, you know, has read that one. And then so many other ones. I was talking on Facebook about the one that I really appreciated was Why Your Life Sucks and What You Can Do About It.
There you go.
Yeah, and then, you know, you included the little straw with it, which I just thought was, you know, to remind us to be humorous and, okay, so if it sucks, just keep sucking and, you know, it will get better. So we could talk about the books, but then also you have so many programs that you offer, and then you travel and teach as well. So are you coming to the mainland for several cities or just St. Louis? Or
Just two, actually, St. Louis and Phoenix, but St. Louis is the highlight of my tour.
Oh, how wonderful. Yeah, and you've been to the Soul Esteem Center many times.
Yes, it's one of my homes away from home. I love Phyllis and Chris and all the good people there. I feel like it's always a homecoming.
Yeah, it's just wonderful. And, you know, it's spring here, so you'll be, you know, arriving with the blossoms, and it'll be beautiful. So,
great. Well, you make me really want to come.
Well, you would not have wanted to be here this winter. It was.
I understand.
It was the winters of old. So, so let's just, Alan, how did you get started with this? I mean, you have a master's in counseling, I do believe, or a master's in art. I can't remember.
It's in counseling.
Okay. So did you start off as a traditional counselor and then evolve?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I was always interested in psychology, but truly, Cindy, my path has been a spiritual one. And when I was in college, I met Ram Dass, who was a revered loving teacher. And I met also a guru in New York. Her name was Hilda Charlton, and she was a little-known teacher. But they both inspired me that there might be a life bigger than the one the senses show us. And I was living kind of a shallow life and just going to school and doing my own intellectual thing and dating and just, you know, regular young man's life. And suddenly this explosion of spirituality came to me where I realized that there was so much more to life than I was living, and I wanted it. So I became hungry, and I just went to every guru and every seminar and every training. I traveled all over the country and the world, and I just began, it was like a vacuum cleaner for spirituality. And then one day this book showed up, The Dragon. I just started writing it, and, you know, one thing led to the next. So it's been an evolving process, but an exciting one.
Wow. So I do believe that is often how it is for people when they, all of a sudden, the eyes open and the blinders are off, and that awakening that you've just described is often, it's and people can't even explain what's happening. It's just, they just know they're like a sponge, and they need more information.
Exactly. And to a lot of people, it's disorienting because they've been living sort of a traditional life, and all of a sudden, their values shift, and they want more, and they want to hang out with different kinds of people and do different kinds of activities. And it can be quite uncomfortable in the beginning until you realize that you're being kicked upstairs. And, you know, so often people feel like they're nuts or they're a crackpot or they're a square peg in a round hole. And you just have to find other square holes to fit your square peg, and they're out there.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, this 2012 thing, you know, everyone's talking about it. And the more and more I read and, you know, and just I've always been like, you know, a reader, so to speak. And, you know, and then I'm also a clairvoyant, so I kind of tune into things. And,
right.
You know, it's just fascinating to me that it's not about the 2012. It's about now. It's
right.
Really, to me, it's like, it's not like we're going to wake up in 2012 and everything, oh, overnight has changed. We're in
right,
the middle of
right.
it. So have you noticed a change in the different students who were studying with you and the different, you know, I know that, you know, we now have the younger ones coming, you know, they're more awake. I mean, I read at a party for some 30-year-olds a couple of weeks ago. I had two parties in a row where I was the reader invited, you know, to help them that evening, and they're just awake. It's a different kind of awake, though.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm imagining this.
Well, I think every generation stands on the shoulders of the generation before it. Certainly, the life we're living is far more evolved than a lot of our parents. And, you know, I see kids, too, and they're way ahead of the game. I mean, you know, at ages 5, 8, and 12, and 2, they know a lot more than I did at that age. And it's kind of humbling, isn't it?
Well, Yeah, I wrote about it in my column this month. It's like, you know, I have a 24-year-old and a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
And then a 21-year-old, and then I raised a bunch of stepkids. But but the bottom line is this. The 12-year-old has his own Facebook page. You know, they text everyone. It's just a whole – they're saying
yeah.
that they have no idea how this technology is going to affect this whole generation because they think that they're having a conversation.
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny because I was doing a program, and I was doing a slideshow on PowerPoint, and I was having some trouble with the projector. We weren't getting it to sync with the computer. So somebody asked, is there a teenager in the audience?
I know, because they learn it. They just know.
It
they
just
absolutely know.
Well, yeah, it's just a different way of being. So I think we're surfing on a wave of transformation. And how much of it has to do with 2012, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But there's definitely a lot of shifting going on, and the people who can move with the shift are going to rise on it, and the people who can't are going to feel stuck and then depressed and fearful and overwhelmed. So I think we don't have much choice but to go with what's happening and enjoy it because it's really here for our good. It's a gift. It's a blessing.
Well, and all of your articles, you know, I just love your articles. I'm always thrilled, and your office is so good. They'll send 3 months at a time, and I'm like, I sometimes will be a voyeur looking ahead, you know, and, oh, I really like what's coming, you know. And, and you know, you're so positive with whatever it is, and it's almost like, you know, okay, if your life sucks, you know, suck some more until you get past it. It's like, okay, it's there. It has to be there for a reason. But
well,
not
it's all a gift. Yeah, there's no accident. One thing leads to the next. And really, your biggest problem really is your biggest friend. I think Rumi said something like, love is the medicine that transforms fear. So if you're feeling stuck or depressed or you had a relationship breakup or a business setback or a financial or a health challenge, if you can somehow find a way to love where you are and stay with it, and you will come out on the other side. That's the biggest message I have to people. Just relax, flow, be yourself, tell the truth, open your heart, and you will come out on the other side. It's guaranteed. It's the law of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, you know, that whole thing about what we resist persists, you know, most people just, they don't know how to surrender because, you know, and that's the big thing is if it's shown up, it's there for a reason, you know. And, you know, I know I've gone screaming to, you know, kicking and, you know, like, why do I have to have this lesson, you know, and it still is still there. It's not going to go away. And so, you know, I think that's really, those are wise words. It's like, it's there for a reason. And what can you learn from it?
I met a woman once who told me she had a rude awakening. I said, what was it? She said, well, I was a technician in the operating room, and I hated my job, and, you know, I'd be on call, and I'd just be driving home after a long day, and the beep would go off, and I'd have to come back. And she said, I injured my hand. And she said, it was a rude awakening. I said, well, you tell me about the rude part. What was the awakening? She said, well, I hated my job, and I had so much time off that I went back to school, and I got a degree in psychology, and now I'm doing counseling, and it's far more rewarding than the original problem. So yes, there's a rude part, but yes, there's an awakening part, and the question is, which aspect do you pay attention to? You will get more of whatever aspect you pay attention to. So if you indulge in the rude, you get more rude. If you indulge in the awakening, you get more awakening. Pretty simple.
Right, right. Well, but, you know, when you're in it, it's kind of hard to see that until you...
Right. Yeah. That's a very compassionate point, which I agree with. That, you know, in the midst of it, it seems like a bunch of crap, but really, you know, if you can get the big picture, you come on the other side.
Yeah. So how is it that you wound up in Maui?
Well, I was invited to speak at a conference in 1984 and in Oahu, where Honolulu is, and I was living in New Jersey until that time. And I took one step on the beach, and this voice said, I don't think we're in New Jersey anymore, Toto. And I was just overwhelmed with the purity and the beauty and the love here. And, you know, all the elements are, if anybody's listening who's been to Hawaii will understand this, that the elements of nature are in really just immaculate harmony here. And it's also the original culture of Hawaiians also has a wonderful, you know, sense of aloha and connection. So I just felt like this was my spiritual home, and I just moved here, and people said, are you crazy? And I said, I have to be crazy to stay. So it was just a natural sequence that was a blessing.
Well, and, you know, it's interesting. You know, I attended the first conference that Wayne Dyer did with Hay House in Maui, and he he had said, you know, he'd been teaching for all these years, but he just wasn't sure people would actually come to Maui.
Yeah.
And, you know, and once people were there, he's like, wow, why did I even doubt this, you know? And now he's made it an annual, you know, event.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's magical there. I've only been to Maui once, and I've been to some of the other islands, but Maui is just, it's just different.
It's in a glorious state of harmony. You know, it's not perfect, but it's really close to it. And let's take Wayne's example as a metaphor, because he kind of had a belief system, well, nobody would come here, and of course people are. And so wouldn't it be interesting if that inspired all of us to re-examine our own belief systems about what's possible? And we probably have listeners right now who are wanting to make a change in their life, whether it's a relationship change or a career change or a move, and they're thinking, well, no one could do that, or I couldn't do that. And, you know, look again, maybe actually if you did that, your life would work better, but it's just fear or familiarity with, you know, what you've been doing that makes the current seem more comfortable. But sometimes life squeezes us to a new dimension by, they say that pain pushes and vision pulls. So we all have pain, we all have vision, and the question is, are you willing to follow your vision and move beyond the pain? And it's something each of us has to do in our own way.
Sounds like Course in Miracles, pain is all resistance to pleasure.
Yeah, everything is love or fear, and everything you do comes from one or the other. So life is basically an adventure in choosing love where you once chose fear.
Yeah, I've studied a lot with Sandra Ray and breathwork over the years, and, you know, I've taught her seminars and things, and, you know, one of the things, and, you know, a lot of her work came out of Course in Miracles, so this may actually be from that, but one of the things is love brings up anything unlike itself for the purpose of healing.
Right.
And it's like
right.
The more we go to love, it's like then the other stuff can come up because we have like that vibration that can handle it and like bring the light to it so that it's not so overwhelming.
Yeah. What do you think people in St. Louis are concerned about these days? What can we talk about? I'll be there soon. What's the day of my program? The 12th? Is that it?
It's actually Sunday, April 11th. And
11th, right.
1
okay.
to 4. And I was going to ask you, you're teaching, it's called the Get Real Workshop. So
yeah.
Why don't you tell us just a little bit about what we can expect?
Well, you know, one of my chief tenets is authentic living. And so this workshop is designed to get people to tune in on what they would be doing if they were true to themselves in relationships and finance and health, spiritual path, where you're living, where you're working. And I have a number of really neat, simple yet powerful exercises that get people in touch with their passion, with their vision, gets people in touch with what's not working in their life so they can use it as a platform to transform. And it's really a holy adventure in getting to know your real self, which, and I think a lot of people's troubles stem from the fact that we're disconnected from our real selves, that we live lives that don't match who we really are, and then we feel empty and lonely because of it. So my goal is to close that gap between who you really are and how you're living and bring your life into greater integrity. So what you're doing on the outside becomes a match to who you are on the inside. And as we know, there's always great joy and healing and passion in making that alignment. So it'll be Sunday afternoon, April 11th at Soul Esteem, and we'll laugh, we may have some tears, but people walk out feeling inspired and uplifted, and that's, you know, that's the name of the game.
Well, it sounds wonderful, and we've been promoting it in the magazine, and, you know, Phyllis does a wonderful job of, you know, reaching out to the community. I mean, she's just an amazing minister. And I mean, look at the name of her church, the Soul Esteem. I mean, it's just perfect, you know. And so, you know, and you know, Phyllis has been through her ups and downs, and, you know, and she's just been a beacon through it all for many people. And so in answer to your question about what is St. Louis wanting, you know, we get bypassed by a lot of speakers because they go to
uh-huh.
Kansas City and Chicago, and something has happened lately in St. Louis. You know, I started a holistic conference in 1996, and we're having our 25th one in July.
People, oh, great.
Yeah, I know. People are awake here. It's
oh.
like all of a sudden they're like, okay, we want more. And so your coming is you know, is just wonderful. And but, you know, it's my 24-year-old son just arrived. He was supposed to come in for the weekend, and, you know, he took a couple of days extra off because he wanted to be with a friend tomorrow for – he had a great loss 10 years ago with his father. And he says, you know, Mom, I just don't want him to be alone. you know, for his, you know, the 10th anniversary. And I said, well, does he even know you're coming? And he says, well, no, he thinks I'm coming in 2 days from now. And I said, well, you know, Brad, how are all your friends doing? And it was interesting. I didn't even know this bit of trivia, but he says, you know, Mom, Detroit is the number one worst city for jobs right now, and St. Louis is the second worst city. I said, you're kidding. And he said, no. He says, for every job that there is a posting for, there are 12 people out of a job. And he said, so, you know, he's 24, and, you know, he's doing quite well, but he's not in the field. He studied finance, and instead he's in advertising sales, which I find fascinating since that's kind of what his mom does. But he was saying that a lot of his friends just do not have jobs right now. And to me, you know, I told him, I said, you know, they will find their way. And, you know, I said, it's really all about networking. And I said, that's how most of the jobs are found anymore. It's like, who do you know, and, you know, how are you positioned, et cetera. And so, and, you know, we've had a lot of just realignment in St. Louis. You know, there's just been a lot of, how do I put this? You know, just a lot of, like, the large corporations, many of them have folded. And, you know, people are looking for something to hold on to give them hope in the middle. And I don't think it's just St. Louis. I think this is anywhere you really go. People that are awake, you know, are more compassionate for the people who don't have jobs and don't have things. And, you know, when you look at, you know, I watch BBC News because, to me, the BBC News is more accurate of what's going on in our country than sometimes our own news. And I just think there's a global realignment going on. And, you know, they say St. Louis is the heart chakra of the country because we're smack dab in the middle. And, you know, the motto is we're the show me state. So I don't think we're quite as belligerent with that anymore. But what I feel you can help us with is, you know, and this is what I was saying before you came on the air, is you always give hope to people. And, you know, you'll smile. I mean, I've seen you with a room of people, and, you know, ultimately it's the relationship questions, relationship, and you're wonderful in answering the questions, but it's still a matter of you help people by giving them hope. I don't know how else to put it. I just really feel like you have a good handle on, okay, so it's crappy, so what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, well, thank you. And that is one of my intentions. And I want to piggyback on something you said, that, you know, where there's difficulty, there's opportunity. And I would like, you know, a lot of us went through a hard economic time for the past year or two. And actually, my business was down somewhat. Thank goodness, not terribly. But, you know, there were some events that were canceled and some events that were down in attendance. And I actually had more time at home than I have, you know, in quite a while. And I have to say, it was one of the best years of my life because, you know, I've been very busy going. You've seen me go. And I was home with my partner and my dogs and in nature, and I did yoga and I meditated and I did a lot of writing and a lot of introspection. And it was really a fabulous course correction year for me. And I wouldn't trade it for anything, Cindy. It was really, you know, I really got to back to my roots of spirituality. So my suggestion to people who are out of a job or in between jobs or looking for a job is to use this time to your advantage. It's a wonderful time to think about who you really are and what you really want to do, and if you got to work again, what would be your ideal position? And if nothing else, reconnect with spirit, reconnect with God, reconnect with your family, reconnect with your health. You know, I think it was a blessed hiatus for me, and it can be a blessed hiatus for a lot of people. And the good news is that when everything comes around, which it is and will, there's no doubt about that, you're in a prime position to move to your next level because you've done your homework. So, you know, I wish everybody to make the best of this time so they can be in a perfect position to move ahead.
Right. You know, it's fascinating. I'm not a big TV watcher, but I like, you know, some of the shows. And there was this woman that was being interviewed who had lost her fortune with the Madoff, you know, Foundation, et cetera. And she was just, you know, she was just frozen at first. And she said, I just knew I was going to be a bag lady. And so she's actually written this book, No Longer a Bag Lady. And she talked about how at first she could not think about yesterday, because every time she would think about the past, which wasn't that far away, you know, it was, you know, her whole life was like really rather nice. And so she'd think about it and then she'd just start sobbing. And then she would think about the future and she'd be just like, oh my gosh, I don't even have anything for my retirement. Yeah. And then she did something very interesting. She just started living in the day and she said, just for today, I have a roof over my head. Just for today, I have enough food. And all of a sudden she writes this book and now she's on like all these circuits, talking about her book.
Yep. Well, turn your problems into cash. You know, it's like,
yeah.
And you know, when I'm teaching in my seminars these days is that there is so much more to prosperity than money. Money is one slice in the big pie of prosperity. And when money isn't flowing like it has been or you'd like it to, it really gives you a chance to notice the many other ways in which you are prosperous. You may be prosperous in health and family and relationships or creativity or nature, art, or music, or writing, or friends, or playing, or yoga. I mean, there's so many ways that we are rich, 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 which have nothing at all to do with money. And I think the blessing of money being taken away, even temporarily, let's say, is it gets you to see how loved and blessed you are, even if you don't have a regular income. Now, I'm not wishing it on anybody. I'm not making light of it. I know people have struggles, so you know, we want to see them get out of that position. But in the meantime, it's a wonderful wake-up call to how loved you are, even if the dollar signs aren't big at the moment.
Mm-hmm. So how did you feel about, you know, the all the, like, crises, like, you know, with the global shifts that have happened and, you know, tsunamis and all this other thing? I mean, to me, it has just been amazing how globally people have shown up to support, like,
yeah.
It shows how people really are compassionate, caring beings.
Yeah, I agree totally. That'll be my answer to it. You know, when something like 9/11 happens, or Haiti, or the Thailand tsunami, you know, people show up and they give money and they give time. It's like there's a problem, but there's a bigger response of love. And you know, if the situation ends up opening your heart and giving you greater compassion and feeling the joy of service. Boy, that's something that a lot of people don't feel unless they get a chance to serve. So everything is a wake-up call. You know, nothing is random. Nothing comes by accident. Whatever happens to the world, to us as individuals, is an invitation for us to say, hey, okay, how can I get closer to the truth? How can I get closer to love? Is this a chance for me to show up and be in my heart? And God, if it does that, you're so far ahead of where you would be if it hadn't happened.
Right. You know, one of those flipping through the channels one night when I couldn't sleep, there was this gentleman on one of the shows, and he says, you know, if you do not have a job, he says, the best thing you can do is pretty much what you were just talking about, be of service. Find an organization that is doing something along the lines of a field you think you may want to get into. And he said, the main thing is you volunteer, and all of a sudden you are seeing what these organizations are doing. You're mixing and mingling with the people who are making it happen. And then the next thing you know if it's really a good fit, and vibrationally, you have access to the people who would be able to open the doors anyway. So
you know, I can't think
of
better advice. Here's what I'm hearing behind that scene is that very often corporations and business and even individual entrepreneurship is how much can I get? You know, how much money can I make? How prominent can I become in a business place? How da 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 da. And then when you don't have that going for you and you're in a position of service, your whole energy is going out into service, which is really the secret of success behind any business. At least that's how it started out.
Right.
And so really, if somebody can get to volunteer during this period, they are reattuning to the actual causational vibration of what makes a successful business work anyway. So when you do get back into the business field, you remember it's more about giving than getting, and then you're really on a roll. Then you get two. Then you're really on a roll.
Right. Okay, so listeners who are just joining us, you are hearing Alan Cohen, author of 22 different books. He's an inspirational speaker. He has, you have the radio show on Hay House. Would you like to tell us when they can hear you again on Hay House?
Sure. My show's called Get Real. Uh-huh. We're talking about that topic. And it's on every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific time, which I guess would be 3 p.m. Midwest time. And you just go online to hayhouseradio.com, and I have guests. And tomorrow we'll be talking about messages from departed loved ones and angel and spirit encounters. We're inviting listeners to call in and talk about their experiences. And it's just fun interviews and dialogue and coaching every week. So if people want to join us, thanks for the plug. I appreciate it.
No. And then you have seminars where people can come and study with you. Now, are you still offering? I think you're still offering those, aren't you?
Yes. In fact, we're just gearing up for our next semester of Life Coach Training, which has been a highly successful, very popular program. And it's be starting in September. We're taking registration now. We're limited to 16 people. And we teach people the basic skills of life coach training, whether you want to be a professional or just do it informally or in conjunction with your current profession. And it's a highly personalized program. If you complete the requirements, you get a certificate, and there's a great deal of bonding among the participants. So people can find that on my website at alancohen.com, alancohen.com. And if they come on Sunday, April 11th, they can talk to me in person about it.
Right. You know, and the format for the 1-4, it will mainly be, it sounds like you facilitating the workshop, but then it sounds like there will be time for people to ask questions and and dialogue. You know, it sounds like that anyway.
Yes, there's a certain amount of lecture to get things going. And then it's highly experiential. You've been to my program, so you know. So I get people involved in exercises. There's lots of Q&A. I do 1-to-1 coaching with some people in the presence of the group if they choose. So it's really a co-creative experience between me and whoever shows up. And there's this magic factor, this X factor, that says something like there's always a common lesson or theme that people who show up are wanting to learn, and somehow that emerges over the course of the afternoon. So no one is left out of the learning curve. Even if you sit there and just absorb, there's lots going on for everybody. It's always a meaningful experience for whoever shows up.
Yeah, you're in the paper in 3 spots this month.
I'm lucky guy. Thank you.
Well, actually, you have the article, and then, you know, we're promoting you with the Soul Esteem, the visit there, but then also we're helping Mishka Productions with Celebrate Your Life, and you'll be there in June, and what a lineup they have this year. It's always wonderful, and so that'll be wonderful, too. Now, are you doing any of the small breakout sessions, or is it mainly...
Actually, this year I'm doing a pre-con, one-day intensive on Friday, which will be all about authentic living as well. I forget the exact title, but it will be an intensive experience and working with lots of people one-to-one to bring forth a genius and passion and greatness and have a real... You know, my workshops are not just information. Information is the smallest part of it. It's really about information and experience. So people get on a gut level what it means to be yourself and really raise the bar of your life such that you're walking as yourself in many different domains. And people can sign up for that through MishkaProductions.com. And well, are you coming to Chicago this year, Cindy?
I am. I've been every year. And then I was also in Phoenix in November. Yeah, so I love Liz and her sister Jamie, and you know, and Ariel, of course, you know, who just transitioned, and you know, these are two sisters and a mom who just had this vision, and they've just helped countless people, and the Chicago thing has been, you know, an evolving thing, and I guess this is their 4th year, and what I can say is the pre-conferences are so worth it, you know, and many people are coming from St. Louis this year up to Chicago, and I'm so glad you're doing a pre-conference, because normally I don't think you've done the pre-conference, so that's perfect.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it this year, and I hope busloads of people come from St. Louis. We'll embrace you all.
Well, it's just a rare opportunity, you know, just to have everyone. We just had Greg Braden and Sonia Choquette in St. Louis, and we had Michael Beckwith not too long ago, and
was real
involved in all of that. And you know, we're lucky. This has just never happened. I mean, normally, as I told you, we have to go to Chicago or Kansas City.
Yeah.
You know, like Carolyn Mace was just recently in Kansas City, and you know, Spirit Seeker Magazine is published online at www.spiritseeker.com, and we actually are tangibly a pickup magazine in St. Louis, Kansas City, and Columbia, and Springfield, and Missouri, and then we go into Illinois. But then, you know, we're always at the Chicago conference and help in any way we can. So, just with your what book? Like your recent book? I'm not familiar with the recent book. I forget the name of it as I'm hearing.
Well, I have 2 recent books. They're quite different. One is a novel, and it's called Lyndon's Last Life. It's really a metaphysical thriller. And it's about a guy who's going to kill himself, and then a Buddhist monk tells him that if you run away like this, you're going to have to come back and it'll be worse. So he decides to die with dignity, and he makes a mystical deal to die and never be reborn no matter what, because life on earth sucks and it's all about suffering. And then something happens that makes him want to change his mind. So the book asks and answers the question, really. If you set a dire destiny in motion, and you probably get this as a clairvoyant, people asking you about this, I'd love to hear your comments on it. But the book answers the question, if you set a dire destiny in motion, can you change it? If you have bad karma or a jaded past, can you move to a new level of life if you change your mind? And B, is life worth it anyway? Is there a reason for us to be here? So we actually have a movie brewing around the novels. That's exciting,
right,
too. And it's called Lyndon's Last Life, and people can see a trailer on Amazon.com, and they can get it from Hayes. And the book will be there on Sunday at Soul Esteem, April 11th.
Great, great, great. Okay, because, you know, I it felt familiar, but then I you know, because I get a lot of you know, teasers from Hay House with things that are coming and et cetera.
Sure.
I mean, I bet you just love working with Hay House. I mean,
they're good people. Yeah, I've worked with a lot of publishers, and Hay House really is all about service. You know, they don't have a corporate mentality. I mean, they're efficient, of course, but they really want to take care of the people, and, you know, it's a delight to work with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I you know, and Louise Hay helped me so much over the years. You know, I had breast cancer 3.5 years ago, and you know, I had this, you know, you'll love this. I had this opportunity to interview her along with a lot of other papers, you know, across the country. And you know, I said to her, I said, you know, Louise, how did you, after your cancer, how did you, like, handle going back when they're looking at you like, you know, it's their job to look at you and make sure you're okay. I said, but you feel like you're underneath a microscope and they're just, like, you know, looking for something wrong with you.
Yes.
And
yes,
she was
yes.
so sweet. She said, you just have to know that you are complete with that lesson.
Very good.
And I said,
very
just
good.
That. Oh, she said, oh, just like that. You just have to know you're complete with that lesson. It was there, but you're complete with it. You know, and then I asked her, I said, so, you know, when you pick a place to live, what is, like, one of the main things after, you know, having been through what you've been through, you know, what is the main criterion where you live? And she said something very similar to what you said with the nature. She says, I have to live where I can either be with nature or see it. So she said, right now I'm living, I guess it was in some type of a high-rise situation, but when she looked out her window, there was like a park-like garden area, and she said, I have to have nature wherever I am.
Yeah. Nature's healing. You know, I think Lao Tzu said, live close to the earth. You know, it's there's something that's powerful and simple about touching a plant or walking in the park or laying on some grass or swimming. I mean, it's, I think that really a lot of our societal ills and personal ills would be healed if people just, you know, touch the earth for a few minutes each day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not grounded is what happens. And like today, you know, I'm a feng shui consultant, so I work with energy and, you know, rearranging homes so that people can, their homes can actually breathe. And today, every window was open in my house. I mean, it was just a glorious day. And we're going to be in the 90s tomorrow, so it's like hard to believe it's the Midwest, you know, in almost April. And so,
hey, for you.
You know, but it is the truth. I mean, just so many people live in buildings and are, you know, work in buildings. They get in their cars, go to their buildings, go to the garages, get in their elevators, go home, park in the garages, never even open their front doors. And this is their life. And
well, you know, I hear a funny story. It was funny but tragic about Donald Trump. And someone asked Donald Trump, how do you always keep your hair so perfect? And he always has that little brushed hair across his forehead. He said, it's quite simple. He says, I go from my air-conditioned penthouse to my air-conditioned car. I go to my private jet. I go into my air-conditioned car to my, you know, office and back and forth, back and forth. And he said, the wind never touches my hair. And when I heard him say that, my first thought was, what a poor, 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 poor man.
Right, because, you know, it's like not with the elements. And one of the big things with the vitamin D deficiencies, now they're finding that women who have breast cancer almost always have a vitamin D deficiency. And so, you know,
really?
Oh, well, this is a new thing. So now when you go back for your checkup. So, of course, mine doesn't even, like, register. And I said, well, I don't drink milk and do dairy. I said, but, you know, I said, I do all kinds of stuff with vitamin D elsewise, but it didn't even register. And so now they're finding all these years they've been saying, stay out of the sun, stay out of the sun. Now they're saying 20 minutes of sun a day is what, you know,
seriously.
What you need.
Wow.
I know. It's like everything they tell us not to do. Now they're saying, excuse me, you made a mistake. You know, and I don't know if this is with men as well. I have no idea, but I just know that now there's a huge vitamin D deficiency, but then they tell you to take 5,000 milligrams a week and 2,000 milligrams a day, and I'm like, I don't quite get the green light on that either. It's almost like you go from one extreme to another, but it doesn't even matter. The real thing is that as long as you are grounded and connected
right.
to the source, it really seems like
right.
the rest of it doesn't matter so much.
Well, let's make a point out of this, too, that, you know, for years, medical professionals say, stay out of the sun, stay out of the sun. Others say, go back in the sun, go back in the sun. And what that tells us, Sir James Jean said, the science should give up on making pronouncements. The river of truth has often turned back upon itself. And what that says to me is that you have to trust your inner knowing. It's good to trust your medical professional, but really, ultimately, what you have to trust is your heart, your intuition, your inner guidance. You're a clairvoyant, you know all about this, that each of us has wisdom and guidance. And if you can flow with that and you go outside, when your inner being tells you to go outside, you come inside when your inner being says go inside. And I truly believe that God speaks to us through our inner wisdom as well as outer signs. But ultimately, you're the one who has to live with your decisions, so you have to follow what your real true decisions are. And the closer I am to my true decisions, Cindy, the healthier I am, the happier I am, the wealthier I am. I really feel that God guides from inside out. I feel if we could all listen to that, our lives would be better.
Well, and even the name of your column, From the Heart. I mean, you know, I just feel like you're. I mean, I've had lots of readers say, "I can't wait to read his column every month."
Oh,
and
good,
you,
good.
And it's just beautiful that it's from the heart. I mean, that's
yeah.
really yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just slowing down, though. You know, and I think that's what you described when you said that with not traveling as much, you had more time for yoga. You had more time. You know, it's really more time to be present with yourself.
Yeah, you know, it's when all is said and done, people don't remember how much money they made or how much time they spent in the office. They remember their relationships, their loved ones, their families, their kids, their dogs, their moments in nature, their falling in love. It's like, it's all about connection. So it's really, life is so much more about people and about stuff. And if we can come back to that, the stuff takes care of itself.
You know, and when I was in Maui at Wayne Dyer's thing a few years ago, he had Ram Dass there. And I mean, it's like, you know, what a sweet thing, you know? I mean, and here's Ram Dass. You know, he's had the stroke and had different, you know, things. And he just, he started crying when he spoke. You know, he was just so present with everyone. And it was just this beautiful, beautiful experience. And,
wow. Yeah.
You know, it's like we all are in this together. It's like, you know, the more we get that, the just the better it gets. So I really like this. This Get Real Workshop, listeners, is on Sunday, April 11th. It is at the Soul Esteem Center. You can call 314-ASK-SOUL, or you can visit the Soul Esteem's website, which is www.soul-esteem.com. You can also visit Alan Cohen's website, which is alancohen.com. You can visit Spirit Seeker's site. You can read the April issue online, www.spiritseeker.com, and you will see information on that seminar, and you can read Alan's article and just find out more information with that. Spirit Seeker is published online. We have readers all over the world now, and we get emails just constantly.
Wow.
I know. We switched to an e-zine format, I guess, about a year ago, and I wasn't sure. You know, I just was like, you know, I don't know if this is, you know, people will really read it online. But, you know, once again, talking about these young people, you know, very few of the 20-year-olds want, they're much more conscious with the environment. And what I get when I walk in places all the time is, oh, I've already read it. I printed out the pages I wanted online. And, you know, they, I mean, I watched my 22-year-old read the news. I mean, you know, before he even, you know, he eats breakfast, he's on his computer or laptop reading all
yeah.
the news channels. And it's just, you know, what's funny to me is they just don't even remember not having the internet because they've grown up
yeah.
with it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It wasn't that long ago I didn't know how to use emails.
Yeah. Well, you know, everything's see, what I like about the internet and email is, like Abraham says, it's really the closest thing we have to the mind of God. Because it's basically instant access to anything anywhere. Like any information that's known by anyone can now be known by you. And that's sort of how the mind of God works. So it's kind of jarring if you're trying to catch up with it. But really, it's closer to truth than, you know, bodies being apart and taking time to communicate and connect. So, you know, you have to catch up a little bit. But it's fun once you're into it. I mean, it's a great, great game.
Right. So we have a little bit of time left here. And I think what I like is, you know, with relationship issues, because, you know, it just seems like a lot of people right now are not sure about relationships anymore. There's so many different formats, and I was listening to the radio today, and I just started laughing. It said, you know, wouldn't relationships be different if instead of, like, you know, till death do us part, there was, okay, you have a 5-year contract, and in 5 years you'll decide whether you're going to renew your contract or the contract is complete. And this person said, can't you imagine around year 4, things are not going all that great, but you're like, oh, I can tough it out for another year. It's only 1 more. I just started laughing. I just thought, who's coming up with this? But then, you know, what I've been hearing is that, you know, Canada is becoming more like Europe. Europe is becoming more like the United States. They don't like their divorce rate rising, so they're going more with commitment ceremonies versus marriages. What is your take on what's happening with relationships right now?
Well, I think it's a big area of growth for lots of people. It's been a big area of growth for me. I think each of us has to be true to how we want to do relationship. And some people find solace and connection and security in that marital bond where you say we are together for life. We're just in it for the distance. And other people, I think, find solace and security and connection by saying, well, we're going to make it up as we go along, and every year we're going to choose to be together or not, and if we're together, it's because we want to be, not because we said we would be. And I think, you know, relationships are a huge growth curve for lots of us. We get to see who we are and who we're not. We get to see where we're afraid. We get to see where we're holding out. You know, my primary relationship with my partner Dee is a fabulous growth opportunity for me. We have lots of fun, but occasionally we hit a hard bump and we have to deal with it, and then we can end up being closer. So, like everything, relationship is an opportunity. But bottom line, you kind of have to fall in love with yourself before you can have a real relationship, because if you're looking to your partner to fill you in or complete you or be all the things to yourself that you're not, you're going to have a hard time. So, come to a relationship from your wholeness, not from your brokenness, and then you will attract a whole partner and have a whole relationship. That's kind of the bottom line that I would say at the moment.
Well, and I really think that if a person cannot make a commitment to love themselves unconditionally, it's pretty darn hard to look for someone else to fill that hole. It's really, you know, one of the six-month seminars that, you know, a couple of my friends attended at the end of the six-month seminar, they had to marry themselves, you know, and they had to do their own ceremony and their whole and everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I've attended something very similar to it, and it really brings up so many issues where people are like, well, you know, how can I marry myself? Excuse me, if you can't, like, hang out with you,
exactly,
you know, then what is this? You know, you have to really, like, actually enjoy yourself before you can really, like, you know, bring that to the table with someone else.
You say that before you can know your soulmate, you have to know your soul. You have to give a soul, another soul, a vibrational hook to hook onto. So if you're not clear on who you are, not that anybody's perfect here, but if you have a good, solid sense of self, then you attract. You want to hear a great quick story that tells it all?
Sure, great.
Yeah. I did a workshop in Greece, and a woman raised her hand. She said, well, I was married for many years to a guy who was emotionally abusive, and finally I asked him for a divorce, and he said no. And I realized I have to wait for a while before I get a divorce. So I started to write myself love letters, and I wrote, dear Georgia, you're gorgeous, you're sexy, you're so hot, I can't wait to see you, you're the light of my life, you make my day. And I wrote as if it was a secret lover writing to me. And she said, I had so much fun that I wrote another love letter to myself every day for a couple of weeks. She said, then my husband found one of these letters, and since it was unsigned, he thought it was from another man. And he came to me waving the letter in my face saying, you can have your divorce. I can't compete with this. And it's a true story. And what happened was, I tell the story because it's a great model, that woman loved herself out of a bad situation. When she fell in love with herself, she became no longer a vibrational match for a man who didn't love her, and she opened herself to somebody who would. And we all have to do that in our own way. We have to fall in love with ourselves.
That's like a perfect example. I mean, that is beautiful. And it really is. It's like she didn't have to do anything other than love herself, and the rest fell away.
Yep, that's the way it works.
That is perfect. That is perfect. And, you know, that's really the key, you know, when you study, you know, when people say enlightenment, you know, you have to work so hard, I'm like, that is not enlightenment. Enlightenment is lightening up, having more fun, no matter what's happening. You just, oh, well, it's here. What can I do with it? It's not meant to be like this sad situation. So many people think they have to work so hard. And, yes, you do have to work, but it doesn't have to be unpleasant.
Well, it's a joyful journey. Yes, you have your moments, but the vision and the joy far outweighs the struggle, and you get to see that life is more about overflow and celebration than problem solving.
Yeah.
What does Abraham say? Less analyzing and more celebrating. You know, less fixing and more savoring.
Oh, Abraham's wonderful. I, you know, on Facebook, Dada Baba, who's now Dr. Pilo, he's gone from, he doesn't want to be a Data anymore, he doesn't want to be a guru anymore, and I felt this coming, so I wasn't surprised, but he was saying that today one of the things was resentment is just this heaviness and unwillingness to let go of the past. It's like, you know, it just drags you down. And, you know, I interviewed Esther and Jerry Hicks, you know, and of course Abraham came through with the messages, and one of the things that I've never forgotten that she said is that regret and resentment are the total vibrational opposite of the art of allowing.
Very good.
And it's like, you know, I just still come back to that, you know, at different times. And it's like, how can the good come to you? You know, it's very similar if you don't love yourself. How can someone come in to love you when, you know, you're like beating yourself up over not being this or that? And it's like, anytime you're in regret, you know, or resentment, how in the world can the good even get through that? It's so thick.
Yeah, true. That's true. Once I went to Abraham's workshop, and at the end of the day, some guy raised his hand and said, you know, I was really angry at you for the whole first part of the day, and I raised my hand, but you didn't call on me. And Abraham said, well, the reason we didn't call on you is because we didn't see you, because your vibration of anger was so far from our vibration that you weren't in our radar. And so when you finally calmed down and opened your heart, then we could see you. So kind of a great example of how it works.
I've seen it when someone's hand is right in front of them and they literally do not see them, and it's normally there's anxiety or anger, exactly what you described. And
yeah.
You know, the whole thing is vibrational, and you know, I start my day off every day with this: I am here, I am open, I am ready, guide me. And
yeah.
it's like you know, and it's like, oh, I wonder who's going to be on the phone today. You know, and it's like, you know, I've had this tooth thing. Oh, I hate to even bring it up, but, you know, it happened for a reason. You know, I had this tooth crack right down the middle, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. I was just in this terrible pain. And so now we're, like, on week number 1.5 with trying to decide if we can save this tooth. And it's really, you know, it's really caused me to slow down. It's like, how in the world, if I'm on pain pills with this, like, cracked tooth, I've canceled all kinds of things. And it's very interesting. Today, I just had this open day, and I thought, isn't this lovely? It's kind of like,
good for you.
You know, oh, I know, it was in the 80s, and I went outside, and I sat on my deck, and I thought, oh, you know, and it's like, you know, there was a time when I wouldn't have been able to do that. I would have been like, oh, how annoying, I can't do this, I better get this, and I thought, no, this is here for a pause, this wonderful, beautiful pause, and it's, you know, what can you do today with this day, and just, you know, be in gratitude. And I don't know, we have so many inspirational things, and with YouTube and all the authors, you know, like, you know, I'm just so glad you're coming to town. I've not experienced you in St. Louis. It's interesting. So this will be my first time experiencing you in St. Louis.
It's great, great.
Yeah, so once again, we're almost out of time, so I just want to tell the listeners, Alan Cohen will be teaching his Get Real workshop, all about authenticity, how you can just really shift your life, find your passion, find your life, you know, and a lot of it's experiential, but, you know, you'll have tools to go home with at the end of the day as well. It's going to be at the Soul Esteem Center in St. Louis, Missouri. You can call 314-ASK-SOUL for future, you know, for any information. And then I am Cindy Meyer, host of the show and publisher of Spirit Seeker Magazine. You can read the magazine online, spiritseeker.com. And Alan Cohen's been one of our regular monthly columnists for over 10 years. I'm so grateful for your wisdom. And anything else you want to say before we complete tonight?
Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground tonight, and I've loved our conversation. I really appreciate what you're doing for St. Louis and the world now, because you're on the web. And thank you for having my articles, and thank you for supporting me. It's just a delightful connection. I feel real honored to play with you.
Yeah, well, it's been an honor, and I agree. So aloha from you know, the mainland.
I'll bring some aloha to St. Louis in a couple of weeks.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. God bless.
Okay.
Well,
all right. Good night, everyone.